Thank you for having me. It is an honor, absolutely, to be here. Parents in America are very important. I got into parental involvement almost 25 years ago now. Really, in my kids' elementary school, I wanted to know how I could work with my neighbors to get more parents involved. And what came out of that was my participation in strategic planning. That turned into a subgroup of strategic planning that involved just 12 parents. This is my home in St. Louis in a suburb called University City. The parents in my group, we got together and decided that we wanted to engage the community. And how do we get more parents engaged in our school district? And in that 12-parent group, we came up with the thought of, this was 1992, by the way, long time ago. In our 12-parent group, we came up with the notion that we wanted every parent to take a written pledge to be involved in their child's education. We wanted parents to commit to volunteering in school every school year, at least 10 hours. We wanted to give parents suggestions on what they should do with their children at home. So out of that 12-member group, we came up with a parental involvement pledge. It was our first learning compact. We asked the superintendent if he would be interested in getting that compact out. He promptly told us that he was not interested. He considered that learning compact at the time to be a little bit of a contract to bring advocates in the school and to turn the whole place upside down, which we assured him would not happen. I gave up on him, and my volunteers actually took the idea from me, and they went back to the superintendent and said, this is something we really need. We want you to do. And he agreed. We went from having no parents signing learning compacts to within 2 weeks having 1,100 parents who had signed a learning compact after the district sent it out. That meant that 1,100 parents said that they wanted to volunteer 10 hours in their schools. That meant that we had 1,100 parents who wanted to volunteer 15 minutes a night. From that point, I knew that we had something that might work nationwide. So I got the band together of parents, and we said, let's come up with something that we can codify and put into terms that everybody could use. And we came up with a written parental involvement pledge. We took that information to the Clinton White House back in the day, and Bill Galston, the president's domestic policy advisor, told us that all of our ideas were being included in the what was then the new Title I, the Improving America Schools Act. It was the reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. I hope I just said that right. And what you have now in Title I is an invitation to parents to take part in their child's education. So we grew our mission. Project Appleseed is a resource and an advocate for 65 million public school parents in America. We believe that when parents are involved, their children do better in school. And we want to give both schools and parents the resources that they need to be involved. As a parent myself, I had 4 children in public school at the time. They are now grown and old, graduates of public schools. One of them came back to be a teacher. But my motivation was that of a parent. I wanted to see what it was going to take to get my neighbors, to get everyone on my street, to get everybody in my community and my city engaged in education. It is a lifelong, what can I say, it is a lifelong endeavor. I think that what we as advocates of parents have to do is to make sure that we make parents understand that they're not going to cure schools overnight. So I look at this as a lifelong endeavor. I consider this to be something that will go on for years. Let me give you a quick overview of what we've done over the last couple of decades. In 1993, we got involved, and we noticed that schools didn't have learning compacts. We also noticed that there was a lack of information about school performance data. So we got our legislature to pass those laws early on. In 1993, the Outstanding Schools Act gave every parent in our state information on how schools are run. In 1994, we also were lucky enough to be able to get legislation passed in Congress. Of all the ideas that we came up with, pretty much 90% of everything was written into law. So in Section 1118 of the Improving America Schools Act, Title I, was the first language that authorized learning compacts in schools. And we felt that we had a really good hand at being a part of having that go on. 1994, 1997, we did two things that we thought were necessary to get the attention of parents. We had a learning compact that we could distribute to schools. We knew that that would work, but we also wanted to create special events in which parents could wrap their participation around. So in 1994, we came up with National Parental Involvement Day, a special event that happens on the third week of September. It is the week of American Education Week. It's the third Thursday in November, sorry. It is American Education Week. We typically have about 3 million parents nationwide involved in National Parental Involvement Day. Public School Volunteer Week, it is coming. It is coming April. Third week in April is Public School Volunteer Week. It is also American Volunteer Week. This is a simple opportunity for you to thank your parents for being engaged this year. 1999 to 2001, I was lucky enough to receive Parenting Magazine's Leader Award and Teacher Magazine's Award for the top 10 people in American education. That's sort of a sad occasion because the top 10 people in American education in 1999 included myself, the person who started charter schools, and it also included the first person to shoot children on the playground. Those trends in that article were pretty solid, and they've continued to this day, but the one thing we do know is that parent engagement has not kept pace with the changes that are going on in schools. You know, you need more help from parents now more than ever. 2009, states began to implement our work as part of their reforms. In Tennessee, as Tennessee applied for one of the top grants in the Obama administration, Race to the Top, they were able to raise $500 million by wrapping their parental involvement program around the standards that we have, and we're going to get into what those standards are. 2011, we were named one of the 10 most remarkable nonprofits you've never heard of, and we like that because a lot of people have not heard of us, but we are that little engine that could make a significant dent in aiding women, children, and the planet at large, according to Echo Salon magazine. 2015, in searching for parental involvement in public schools, we actually became the number one site at that point. We are in the top 10 in Google, Bing, and Yahoo, and reaching our information should be easy for you. Google parental involvement in public schools, Google Project Appleseed Education, you'll come up right with us. Each week, our website is visited by the 100 largest school districts in America. Actually, that's more like 200 to 300. The traffic on our site is huge from large and small school districts. What are they looking for? Primarily, it's your colleagues, principals, superintendents, people who want more in education that includes parents. Okay, so why are we here? We can help you do the things that you need to do to plan your outreach event, make the first contact a positive one at school, identify parents' special skills, use your compact. Our compact is the parental involvement pledge. We also have a parental involvement report card. We want you to keep parents informed. Ask for input on the parent involvement policy, too. And don't forget fathers. That's a quickie outline of what we're talking about. Let me go over each one real quick. Your open house, you should start now. Think now about what next fall is going to be like with your open house. This is your school. This is you marketing parental involvement. You're selling engagement to parents in a way that they can understand. All too often, parent involvement in schools is not more, much more than the summation of a parent-teacher conference and an open house night. If parents are ever contacted individually by teachers, it's usually concerning a behavioral or academic issue in the classroom, and parents are left with a negative view of what it means to be involved in their children's school. However, parental involvement is vital in a student's success. So in planning that success, we want you to concentrate on your open house night. Parent night is a great opportunity to connect with students and parents and to familiarize them with what you've got going on. But that is your night to be able to say to parents, here, take this pledge and become involved in our school. We really want you to be engaged. That's a positive first contact. You're asking them for their input, and you're asking them to be part of a larger community. Why is that? What are you doing that for? We're talking about creating relationships. We're going to see a little video in a bit from Karen Mapp, who is one of the grand minds of parental involvement in the country. What we're teaching is, how do you build relationships with parents that are going to last and get the school's goals met? How are you going to engage those parents? It's about one-on-one conversation with folks who really want to be engaged in developing that relationship. So an open house is a great time to get those faces in the door, make that first contact positive, but you're also looking for people in that room who can volunteer. Some parents want to be involved but don't know how. Having groups of parents work on acquiring supplies and things like that, that's a team-building exercise, and that is something that brings folks together. The training that you need for that, there is never enough training. We're going to go into the barriers of parental involvement in a second. But there is very simple training available on the Internet as to the parameters of what parents can and cannot do, and we have that on our website. You also want to ask parents where they are in their child's education. How involved are they? Let me make one thing clear. Project Appleseed is not about creating more helicopter parents. Whether you are a helicopter parent or a Title I parent who's never done anything, they may have two things in common. They don't know what the standards of parental involvement are, and their lack of involvement or their over-involvement is doing harm to their children. So we want to propose a middle third way where Title I parents and parents who are high achieving can do the same sorts of things so that school administrators can handle it. You can't handle a crowd of 1,100 volunteers overnight, nor can you handle zero volunteers, because that doesn't work either. The parental involvement report card is a self-diagnostic tool that says to parents, what is it like to be involved in my child's education? 31 questions, not scientific, but gives parents a very good barometer on what they're doing. We also use the parental involvement pledge to identify the skills that parents have going on. If you know one of your students' parents is a chemist, bring her in for a demonstration during science and see what they can do. If you know one of your parents is a baker, bring them in to make gingerbread houses for the holiday. This is also a way to keep parents informed. These parents are your volunteers who come into the building. Make them a part of bringing them together for your Title I parent involvement policy. This is a good opportunity to bring a genuine group of people who are neighbors together to make a school policy that they can believe in and that they can really push together as a group. They can use your guidance, the district's guidance, on what is correct. But let them tell you what they expect as a community out of your building. When we proposed that parent Title I policy into law years ago, it wasn't utilized much. Now more and more we're seeing them used, but it really doesn't always reflect the community that that school or that district is serving. When you get volunteers together, give them something real. When you get an open house together, give them something real. Creating that parent involvement policy in that process would be a good way to start. And the parent involvement policy, a good one, is a good way to keep both angry parents, helicopter parents, and unengaged parents all on the same page. And the one thing we don't want you to forget, everybody forgets fathers. I know everybody says that they're doing fathers, but we don't see it enough. We don't see it in the media. We don't see it in messages. We don't see it in practice. And it is a shame that we don't specifically ask dads to do more, especially in low-income communities where in my community in St. Louis, in the city of St. Louis, in St. Louis Public Schools, we're talking about a community where fathers are incarcerated. We are encouraging parental involvement for incarcerated parents. I also live in a community called Webster Groves, where I graduated from high school, affluent. Those communities have lots of helicopter parents. Those parents need to be put to work to help reach out to parents who've never been engaged before. Turn those parents into advocates. Let them help you do your job better. Helicoptering is okay as long as it's good for everybody, but focusing on just your child is not something we do. Let's move on here. Why is this valuable to you? Here's the bottom line. Volunteer time in America has a value. The independent sector says the value of volunteer time is $24.14 an hour. this is a real number. It's a real standard. It can be used in financial statements, in grant proposals, and annual reports. It can be used to report to the state how much your volunteer time is worth in your school building. You've got 100 volunteers. They took the parental involvement pledge. They all volunteered 10 hours. Well, that sounds like 1,000 hours of volunteer time. How much is 1,000 hours of volunteer time? Well, multiply that by $24, and there you have your answer. This is important in places like, I'll use Bettendorf, Iowa, where they participated in our National Parental Involvement Day a couple of years ago. And the school board reported out that Bettendorf Public Schools produces 100,000 hours of parent involvement time. 100,000 hours. They put a dollar amount on that. It was several million dollars of time that they were able to track over a school year. They knew how much each and every parent had done. This is important because we shrug off parental involvement in this country as something that's nice, something that we should do, but something that we don't always engage in. And when we put a dollar value on something, it becomes important. This is the dollar value we put on parental involvement. Parental involvement is not a drain on what you do. Parental involvement is an additive. It adds to the school budget. It adds social capital. So let's take a pop quiz before we get into the meat today.
And the answers are, Kevin, 86% said false, and 14% said true.
Ooh, okay. All right, let's do the next one. Go ahead and read the next one.
It is often difficult to attend PTA, PTO meetings. True or false? 51% said false, and 49% said true. A little closer there.
Interesting.
Serving as a room mother or father is definitely an option for either parent. True or false? 56 said true, and 44 said false.
Okay, let's go to the video and see what they say.
The single most important factor that determines whether a child will succeed in school is parent or family involvement. Let's take a pop quiz to see how well you are doing when it comes to being involved. Consider each of the following statements and decide whether it is true or false. Number one, when both parents work, volunteering in the classroom is practically impossible. But taking 5 minutes to read the notes and newsletter your child brings home from school each day is much more important than putting up bulletin boards for the teacher in the classroom. Number two, when both parents work, it is often difficult to attend PTA meetings. Here as well, the answer is most likely true. Juggling family responsibilities makes it difficult to attend PTA meetings, but talking on the telephone with your child's teachers will give you the firsthand information that you really need to know anyway. Number three, when both parents work, serving as a room mother or room father is definitely not an option for either parent. Once again, the answer is probably true. Being a room mother or room father is time-consuming. But quite frankly, reading aloud to your child for a few minutes on a daily basis can be much more rewarding for both you and your child than serving as the holiday organizer.
The most recent research on effective parental involvement that we have worked on to gather this with Miami-Dade Public Schools over the last 10 years, this is some of the most effective research combined from lots of different scholars on what the barriers are to family involvement in schools. And we know that the number one barrier is the lack of teacher time. Teachers have so many requests put upon them that it is simply just too hard for them to have another thing thrown at them. Educators have many misperceptions about abilities of parents. There's a lack of understanding about what parents' communication styles are. Family mobility is a problem. Parents' lack of comfort. With the lack of comfort and whether or not they're vested in the school, and the tensions that it creates in the relationships between you and your parents. When parents are empowered to do things, they may be empowered to feel like they can take over your job. No. They may be empowered to think that they can take over a classroom. No. Let's give them, some parameters in which it is okay to do that. And then we also have the difficulty of getting parent involvement in the upper grades. When my children were in high school, doing the job that I do, I was in my kids' school, and everybody knew that I ran Project Appleseed, and my kids absolutely detested seeing me in the building. My daughter, who is now a teacher, she's married to a principal in St. Louis. My daughter said to me when she was 15, how come I could not be normal like everybody else's parent and stay at home? So it is a hard thing for some teenagers to accept. But the one thing my children did know was that school was important, and they did well because I was there. I was being helpful to everyone else's child, not just my own child, and it showed in their education. Many times your staff has not been trained in the work of families. We know that. We know the districts are not giving that opportunity to have this remedial training. Hopefully today, this simplistic way of going about it and introducing you to all those wonderful sources will help. Administrators and teachers are worried about family involvement will add to their busy schedules. Let me offer a little bit of advice. You've got a busy schedule. I'd love to see my son-in-law go home every night at 5 o'clock, which he can't do. He's there till 10 o'clock. It's a 12-hour day. In your busy schedule, think about how many things the parents could do to help you ease that busy schedule that would not become a burden to you. Are there things that parents who can be trained in just specific tasks, who can even keep confidentiality, who can be trusted to do things in the office, are there things that they could do to help you lessen the burdens of your job? Educators also get concerned that when parents and families get that close to the decision-making, they want the decision-making power to themselves. The answer is no. They get a parent involvement policy to have input on, but we aren't teaching parents to step in and run schools and take the place over. This isn't the movie We Won't Back Down. This is How Can We Help You? Families are not sure how far they can go in asking questions, and that's where you have to make families and feel comfortable. When we say family involvement, we mean parents, grandparents, and the caring adults in that family. Who do we engage? What does Project Appleseed do? The way we came to this point from just one parent in a room with my neighbors to being a national organization is we started to engage governors, state legislatures, and state school boards. That helped. After we got the White House to pass legislation, we were able to get them to understand that these normal parent involvement needs are out there. But what we're doing right now is over the last 15 years, we know that parent involvement has to be brought down to the classroom level, that teachers need to be able to connect parent engagement with student achievement. So we are reaching out to the geniuses in this area, Karen Mapp, Ann Henderson, Dr. Epstein, is the inventor of the things that we're going to talk about here. But reaching down to the level of classroom teacher is our goal. The other people we engage school leaders who are outside the school building. We engage charter schools, paraprofessionals, administrators, the whole gamut. Who do we want you to engage with this talk today? We want you to think about the parents, grandparents, and caring adults that I talked about. This extends to early childhood educators, teachers. Here's the big one, support staff. I think the most important person in parental involvement in America is the school secretary. The school secretary is the face of your organization. They are customer service. They are your commercial. They are your Walmart greeter. They do everything. This is the perfect person to make sure you say to them, number one, thank you for the job you're doing, but can you help us get families involved? When I did this in my children's school when I first started out, Ms. Stapleton was literally the organizer. She happened to live in the community. She was there with us at nighttime. We knew her as one of us. I think school secretary is underrated. And as I tease my son-in-law, the principal, we all know the school secretaries run schools anyway, don't they? In some ways, just a joke, folks. So what kinds of parents are we helping? When you look at your parents, I want you to look at them as three different groups. Research from Public Agenda has shown in the last 3 years that most parents who are coming to school fall into three categories: help seekers, school helpers, and potential transformers. This is a nice, tidy way to look at your audience, and your audience really wants to be able to say, I need help from this school in getting involved in my child's education. I want to help and get people involved. And I want to be part of the action. I want to be in the decision making. We're going to race through Title I because most of you are familiar with it. What we came up with in Title I was the creation of a joint school district parent involvement plan. We also were the ones who pushed the learning compact to be part of your parent involvement policy. When your parent involvement policy is a part of what you do, we think you're successful. We don't think that parent involvement policy is just an unfunded mandate, which it is unfunded, but it's based on really solid research. And I think most district parent involvement policies try to make a reasonable effort in including everybody. But let's just go over real quick what that is. You're going to convene an annual meeting. None of this costs money, of which all low-income parents and students are involved. If you're in a high-performing school that is rich and doesn't have Title I students, these guidelines are good for you too. Offer a flexible number of engagement meetings so you can get everybody around the table. Let them know what the district's parent involvement policy is going to possibly have an effect on, and the fact that that parent involvement engagement in the district is also funded by the federal government. There is funding tied to it. Excuse me. The school parent compact is going to do two things in the new parent involvement. The new parent involvement does not differ drastically from the old one. This is the second time we've seen bipartisan agreement. By the way, the Every Student Success Act was passed with bipartisan support in December of 2015. I want you to think about that. The political environment being what it is right now, there was no haggling, public haggling over reauthorization of these laws. They are bipartisan and have support from both sides of the fence. We want to ensure in the new Title I that there is regular, meaningful two-way communication. That is the game. Having regular, meaningful two-way communication is going to create that relationship that you're looking for. And in the new Title I, 90% of those Title I family funds go directly to the school, not in the district's budget to be spent on something else that may be related, but I think a decision that you get to make at your building level. The core principles of family engagement in Title I is to improve student learning. Parents are not the problem. We don't promote parents as the problem. We promote them as a solution, and we're happy to see the law have been changed to that. And both educators and families need to collaborate. So one of the things the research points to is that there are so many random acts of parental involvement in school, meaning they are, I have parental involvement in my school, but they aren't related. They aren't systemic. They are simply just lots of things that we throw at parents. Sit down and try to map out on a piece of paper what your parent involvement activities are in a year and look at them and tell me if they are related to student learning, if they're related to your parent involvement policy, if it's related to your school improvement plan. If they're not, stop and fix it. They should be integrated in everything. And the one other thing that we have to talk about, when you create a parent involvement policy, when you create a parent involvement program, is it going to be sustainable beyond your tenure? Principals have a tenure, what, 5 years? Is it going to last 5 years? Because if it lasts 5 years, it's going to be part of the school culture pretty soon. We need to see more multi-year rather than just year-to-year projectitis. And projectitis is in a lot of places where there is lip service being paid to parental involvement. Bob Chase, retired president of the National Education Association, 2007, Bob wrote a book, the first thing he did when he retired from the NEA, and he went around the country to say, okay, I've been the president of the largest teachers union in America, 3.2 million members, and the biggest problem I see in education is parent involvement. And why? Because Bob had spent all of his time at the NEA offices in Washington, and he said that he had not spent enough time at home with his own children. And he felt, not just for himself, but for America, this is one of the things that we had to do to get back on track. Ann Henderson and Karen Mapp along with Dr. Epstein, Joyce Epstein, are the three researchers who a lot of our work is shaped around, also Heather Weiss at Harvard University. Each of them has a message, and I want you to hear Ann Henderson's message today and a little bit of Karen Mapp.
Are you concerned about whether your school will make adequate yearly progress next year? Do you wonder what strategies to try next to improve students' reading scores? Are you struggling to reach your lower achieving students? Don't you wish sometimes that your families would do more to help their kids learn? We have some tools that can help you. I'm Ann Henderson with the Annenberg Institute for School Reform. For the past 30 years, I've been tracking research on parent and family involvement in education, and I can tell you without any doubt that it works. Students do better in school when their teachers and families work together to help them learn. Students of all ages earn higher grades and test scores. They like school more, and they come to school and pay attention. They're also much more likely to pass their classes, graduate from high school, and go on to college. If you're at Title I school, the law says you must have a school-family compact that outlines how parents and teachers will build and develop a partnership to help students achieve the state's high standards. So what is a compact? The word means a lot of things, but in this sense, a compact is a written agreement of shared responsibility. But most school compacts that we've seen aren't about learning at all. They're about behavior. They say things like, students will do their homework. Parents will get their kids to school on time. Teachers will hold high expectations for all students, but they don't describe how they will work together to improve kids' reading and math skills, and they don't even mention the goals in the school improvement plan. This is a missed opportunity. Take a look at this bar chart. The second set of bars from the left shows that reading achievement is 4 times more likely to improve when a school has strong parent involvement, while only 10% of schools with weak parent involvement improved. Schools with strong parent involvement were 10 times more likely to improve in math. This could be you. Another important study found that when Title I teachers did 3 things to reach out to families, their students' reading and math scores improved at a 40% to 50% faster rate. What are those 3 things? First, teachers met with every student's family face-to-face and got to know them. Second, teachers stayed in regular touch with the families about how their kids are doing. Third, teachers sent home learning materials that families can use to help their children. Doing things like this is exactly what school family compacts can accomplish. Think about it. What if you sat down with families and talked about how you can support each other to improve children's learning? Parents could hear directly from you what their kids most need to learn, how you plan to structure that learning, and what parents can do at home to reinforce it. Now, what if you then could hear parents' questions about what exactly they should do and listen to their advice about what most helps their own child? In 2008, the Connecticut Department of Education invited 5 urban districts into a pilot effort to revitalize their school compacts. We've learned a lot from that experience, and we're ready to share it with you in this web-based professional development tool.
Relationships is the main thing that we are talking about. And without the relationships, we can't get much done. And I think when it comes to the Parent Involvement Compact, that relationship is important. I've got a question here, and I want to be able to ask, answer questions as we go along. The question is, we are a Title I school and are fortunate enough to have a full-time family engagement specialist. As a principal, how do I best support my family engagement specialist in their role? Everywhere in the country, I say the same thing on this question. Give them something systematic to do. Family engagement specialists too often are taken off doing things that have to do with child care, have to do with the menial care of everyday, I'm going to get my kids lunch money and I'll give it to the parent engagement specialist. So that's fine, but let's give that parent engagement specialist something to do. And when you're looking at what Karen Mapp and what is being said here, let me go back to the slides. We have the six types of parental involvement which guide what we do. The six types of parental involvement were researched and developed by Dr. Joyce Epstein at Johns Hopkins University in 1995 and 96. Dr. Epstein's work is what we have wrapped Project Appleseed around. That's why our logo has six slices in it. And to the six slices of parent involvement, we made parenting number one, volunteering, learning at home, communicating, collaborating with community, and decision making. Those are the six things that your parent engagement specialist should be helping your parents to do. In this PowerPoint, on each of the following pages, we have each of the six types and what those sample practices would be to get those parents engaged. And we think that this is a very good guide. Number one, slice number one, recruit and organize parent volunteers. That's the first thing your parent engagement specialist in the building should be doing. We think that helping all families establish home environments that will help students learn. And a lot of people have already seen the six slices before, so this isn't anything that is groundbreaking. But it is necessary. If we design more effective home-to-school communication, we'll do better. Home-to-school communication, let's talk about that for a second, and I'm going to race because we've got about 10, 15 minutes left. Every student and every family needs to be able to communicate with school. Unfortunately, a lot of Title I families are not able to communicate with school because they have no Internet. On Project Appleseed's website, we have partnered with everyone on in a national partnership that delivers $10 a month unlimited Internet to Title I families and schools. $10 a month means that that family would receive a hotspot. That hotspot has no caps on it. I have one in my hand right now. You can stream Netflix. You can do anything. This will help them connect to school. There are tablets and laptops available on the website for $150. There are tablets available for $100. So that is our way of being able to plug in that hole in parent, home, and school communication. We want to be able to provide information to all families about how learning at home can be more important and more successful. We want to include parents in decision-making. Can't emphasize that enough. When your parent engagement specialist is working in the course of the day, I think involving parents on issues that you think are important is a good way to start. Even if you don't have an important issue, give them something that brushes up their skills. How about that parent involvement report card? And that's coming up. We're going to see the details on that. Collaborating with community. Your parent engagement specialist should be attending every meeting in town that has to do with your school. Your parent engagement specialist should be at the laundromat, putting up notes on the board about school. Your parent engagement specialist should be at Starbucks, recruiting families. Let them get out of the building to do their jobs because their real job is outside of the building. So how do we do this? If you're a parent engagement specialist and you just came to this webinar today, how are you supposed to wrap all this into a package? Number one, we have a parental involvement toolbox that is designed for you to be able to use with your parent engagement specialist so that you have the tools that you need, one, to satisfy Title I, but two, it's the best practices of what we know in engagement, all wrapped up in one package. The parental involvement toolbox is available on our website. What is in a toolbox? The parental involvement pledge. That pledge is going to let you basically put parents' commitment down on paper. It is something they're going to keep on their refrigerator door. They're going to look at it every time they think about their engagement. The parent involvement report card, of which we only took 3 questions, we have a self-diagnostic of 31 questions in that toolbox, in which you're going to send the pledge and this report card to every single one of your families. When do you use it? We created special events, as I told you before, that celebrate parent engagement. And one of the ones that has done extremely well across the country over the last 25 years is National Parental Involvement Day. Here's our last
schools
fall
like
in California.
Hines and Tail, many parents turning out for events held at schools across Kern County. The event's part of National Parent Involvement Day, a day dedicated to showing appreciation for parents who support their children's effort in school. Further, ABC's Natalie Tarangioli was at South High School, where organizers say this is just the first of many events like it to come. Natalie.
That's right, Jackie. South High, along with Highland, North, and Near Monte, celebrated Parent Involvement Day. Organizers at South High so pleased with tonight. They're already thinking of planning another one.
Dozens of community members gathered on the quad at South High School Thursday night for food and games, the school's take on National Parent Involvement Day. With campus tours, henna tattoos, and even a bounce house, the goal of the night, to give parents a chance to become involved and invested in their child's schooling.
We break the barriers between us and the community so we get more parent involvement and we reach those gaps that we have between us and the community.
Another goal, to thank parents for supporting their children's interest in schools. Mexican American Rebel Club Association, or MARCA Club, helped put on the event. Secretary Leslie Siciliano said her supportive parents helped to motivate her.
They say, do what you want, like, because they'll make you happy. So, yeah, I think every parent should support their student and child.
While students enjoyed the night, parents, including Luz Ramos, said she was glad she went, since she's looking to get more involved in her son's school life.
It was a good thing because I see how they're all interactive with one another, and it makes me feel good because my son comes to these events, and it keeps my son off the streets, you know what I mean? Because I see that he likes these events. He likes to come out. He wants to involve himself in sports, and I'm cool with that.
Romero says inviting families to events makes a real difference in the community, creating a safe haven for not only students, but their parents as well.
You know, if they see the parents on campus and they start becoming familiar with the campus and the staff and the different opportunities, the better educated the parent is, the more successful the student will be.
Organizers at South High really emphasize tonight's event will not be the last. They think the next one will most likely be held in January or February. In studio, Natalie Tarangioli, 20.
National Parental Involvement Day probably gets more press, more ink than anything we've ever done. And it is also right before that Thanksgiving break. It is a perfect time to reach out to parents. It allows us to be able to extend a campaign of parental involvement from November through April. So what we do as bookends, we celebrate National Parental Involvement Day starting November, the third week in November, and we go for 150 days all the way through April. And each week on our website, if you go to the website, projectappleseed.org, you're going to see underneath celebrations, 150 days of parent involvement. We have suggestions on our website for you to do an activity each and every week that costs your school nothing so that you can get your parents involved. The hotspot is coming through. I've got a question here. The hotspot is coming actually through Everyone On, which is the name of the national nonprofit that has brought everybody together. And the hotspot is actually from Sprint. So you're getting Sprint, a Sprint broadband signal. Really good. Any questions? I'm raising because we've got questions on the screen, and I want to make sure I answer them.
Hi. Can you tell us a little bit more about what a principal's role should be in supporting their family engagement specialist? Any other strategies for them specifically?
I think what you do to support your family engagement specialist is to give them a mandate with the entire staff that this person's work is important. And that means that teachers are going to have buy-in. The faculty if not included, will simply ignore what that family engagement specialist is. So I think the first thing you do is make sure that you sit down and get teacher buy-in, authentic buy-in as to what that person should be doing. What is the opinion of staff first as to what we should be reaching out for? The other part, I think your family engagement specialist should meet leadership in and around your school. That's in churches, the police, other nonprofits that work in education, any sort of learning activities in the community. That person should be the primary contact. Make that person both PR and political organizer for what you do.
That's great. Thank you, Kevin. We have another question in here about, can you recommend tips for kind of diffusing angry parents about that?
When we have angry parents, and we do have a web page about how do you handle angry parents, it is a difficult thing for most principals to handle. And we have got, it's probably the most accessed article on our website, tips for teachers on how to handle, and it's for administrators, on how to handle angry parents. I think it's important that you understand, and I know you do, that parents who are angry actually have great ideas, but disarming them means to engage them, to get them involved in school, to give them a sense that not only do you hear them, but you are engaging them. And in our case, if you have a parental involvement pledge that says, I'm going to be involved in the education of my child and every other child, it diffuses the anger and puts it into a positive light. It's a good way to start a positive communication. And remember, even angry parents, that's a relationship that could be built, and that's somebody you want to keep.
And another question has come in about disengaged parents, parents who, you know, are just not involved. What other kind of methods would you recommend to actually engage them?
Meet them where they are. When parents are not involved, in my mind, I say to myself, I want to give the benefit of the doubt that they've got three jobs and no time for school. I want to get into their heads and think, what is it that they're doing? And one of the biggest trends is teacher home visits. I can't recommend that enough. To prepare your staff before the beginning of school in August to identify at least the students that need a visit, I would say bring staff into parents' homes and begin that discussion with family as to what is it that the school needs to support that child, to give that child an excellent education. And the teacher gets an opportunity to go into the home to look and see and feel what's really going on and what the expectations of that family are.
Okay, so well, with that, I think are you done now, or is there any other tips that you have for our audience that you could share?
The one tip I want you to understand is that parent involvement is not magical. It is not an add-on. It is integral to what you're doing. We give it lip service, as Bob Chase said at the NEA. But when we give it lip service, let's give it effective lip service. Let's actually give a systemic way in which you can methodically follow the law of Title I to say, this is how we reach out to parents. It's based on best practices. And a good way to start that is to look over our toolbox, to look over the other organizations. We love the National PTA. If you do not have a PTA in your building and you do not have a PTO, please call the National PTA. What they do is special. They have standards. It is not a bunch of people in the cafeteria reinventing the wheel every August and September. It is our oldest resource in this country, and you should use it and encourage it among your families. But parent groups that parents can organize themselves will sustain you longer than anything, and that will make sure that your involvement and your engagement lasts more than just your tenure. I want to thank everybody for letting me be in your ear for a little bit. Please, if you have questions, email me. Here's my email address, kevinwalker@projectappleseed.org. Or call us. I will return your call personally. Give me a couple of days, but it is area code 314-292-9760, and I will walk you through our program. Happy to have had the pleasure of your time today, and thank you from the Project Appleseed to the National Principals Association, National Elementary School Principals Association.
Kevin, yes, on behalf of NAESP, thank you so much for leading the conversation today and sharing your great thoughts with our members and all of the other folks who are participating today. You've just given us so many ideas to think about and tips. I hope people will visit your website and email you as follows.